Hello, hello, hello. What's up? This is Holy Water.
And this is Hellfire. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
We're back
full effect.
Yes, yes. So what are we going to talk about this week, Hellfire?
We're going to talk about the meaning of being a mother.
Yes.
Yes.
And since it's Mother's Day, why not, right?
Why not? Why not?
Yeah, because I think mothers are one of the most powerful people on this earth. A mother.
Yes, yes, a mother. A mother's work is never done.
It never ends. Right. And you know, we used to hear our parents say that growing up, our grandmothers and everybody. And it's like, my work's never done. I didn't understand that until now.
I know. Now that we're mothers, it's like, when does it end?
I want it to end, Lord.
It never, never, never ends.
Never ends.
Even
never
when they 22.
22, 23, 27.
Yes, it never ends. It never, never, never ends.
So, of course, we're both mothers. Mm-hmm. I have two boys, 22, 23, and 27.
I have two boys, 22 and 15.
So, honey, we're right in the thick of it.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm a mother now or if I'm just a consultant.
You're turning into a consultant.
Yes.
I think because at a certain age, we become more of a counselor, a comforter, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
More of a, not a friend, because, you know, black parents don't do friends, right?
Right.
We're not friends.
No, we're not friends. We're friendly.
Friendly.
But
yes.
I'm still your mother.
Right.
And you're still my son.
Right.
I'm just friendly.
Right. So what do you think one of the biggest changes from having a child at from birth to say 10, what is the difference between that period and now having being their mother at 20? What do you think?
Oh wow, being their mother at 20, you got to be very, very careful about what you tell them. So now you don't tell them to do things, you ask.
Or you make them feel like that. You have to suggest it.
Yes. That's very challenging because being a mother, you know, we such do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
And so we definitely have to be very delicate about what we say and how we say it.
Right.
What do you think the challenges are for yourself?
That I agree. Well, and another thing, you know, when they were young, you could just buy them something and you tell them, put this on, wear this. This is what I got for you. And we didn't have to spend a whole lot of time trying to figure it out, get in a car, we can go. Now they have their own identities. You know, they want to dress a certain way. I used to cut my boys' hair.
Did you? My boys would never.
I did.
Let me cut their hair. But my husband did.
Yeah. And up until they were 16, and now it's like, I can't touch their hair. Like, I mean, what happened to all my mommy points? Like,
I know how to cut hair.
Yeah. And our relationship was closer. Mm-hmm. It seems like a distance. Yeah. There's distance. Like, my son, he's in the room all day. Does your kids kind of close up in the room a lot?
Well, yeah, they are. Because with this social media, it just occupies a lot of their time. And so with that being said, it does seem like there's a big, big distance between us. And I don't think it's anything that I did or anything that you did.
No.
I think it's just the way the world is right now. They have other distractions. And they just don't feel like they need to talk to us. But So what I do, I go in there, hey, what are you doing? Let's talk. I want to, you know, talk to you. Put the phone down, you know.
Yeah,
and I'm
sure
you do the same thing.
Yeah, I do. Or just trying to be available. And you're right. At 20, they have social media. They have all these different, the Instagram and the Facebook. So their heads are down and their phones a lot, you know. And I was kind of reading the other day, trying to get some tips on how to parent a 20-year-old.
Right.
You know, how do you do it? And they said one of the things they suggested is that you ask them to put the phone down, go to dinner, and everybody puts their phone in a basket. And then you make that your time to spend with them. But problem is, mine won't answer his phone.
Answer the phone to go to dinner.
Girl, I would text him and blow him up, and he would not answer the phone.
You know what? I have that same issue. And when he finally does answer the phone, the 22-year-old that he is, I'm like, what the up? Why you answer the phone? Like, I've called your phone 10 times.
Stalking.
Yeah, like, what's the issue? Oh, I didn't hear it. It was in my pocket. It's on silence. Well, I need it to be up loud when you need it.
Yeah, or vibrate. Do you think they really see it and they just like, oh, that's mama, I'll get back with it.
I think sometimes they do.
You think? I really think that too. So that's one of the things. Our communicating and different, it's different. You know, they used to, it seemed like they were all in tune with me. Like I could tell them something. They were like, yay, mama, and let's go to the park. Let's do this. And you can have a good time with them. But now it's like, even for their birthday, what do you want to do for your birthday? Nothing. I'd rather spend time with my friends. And that makes me feel some kind of way.
But it does.
Yeah, but I guess I'm learning now. I'm still learning how to mother my 20-year-old.
Yeah, I'm learning too. You know, my 22-year-old, I find myself tiptoeing around his ass.
As if he's my
daddy.
He's
daddy.
Don't they make you nervous sometimes?
And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm the goddamn mama here.
Right.
I'm not tiptoeing around.
Right. And when did that change? Like, that's so weird. Because Malik, he'll come in and be like, nah, mom, you don't need to do that. He told me one day.
And we listen.
Yeah, and listen, girl. He told me one day, you need to clean your Instagram up. You know, Pretty Girl Boutique. Take that off. And then I'm telling him, don't worry about it. I got it. But guess what I did?
Took it out. Yes, took it out. Because you know what? We do got to listen to the children.
We do.
Kids. Because they teach us so much.
Our kids are smarter than us.
Yeah, they really
are. They're smarter than us. And I think we go from teaching to learning.
Yeah, you know, we do.
As a parent, and if you're not open to that, to hear from your kids, to learn from them, then, you know, I think we will be kind of lost. My son knows the computer, how to, if I mess up something, he'll come in there in 2 minutes and boop, 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 it's done.
Exactly.
But it takes me 2 days to figure it out.
Oh, I agree with that. I preach it to the choir. Because every time I need something done, I'm like, hey, where y'all at? Somebody help. I can't do this shit.
Oh, I don't know.
What the hell? We don't need all this, but we really do. So, I get it.
Yeah, and you know, and one of the things about being a mother is we are nurturers, right? We nurture our kids. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've kind of experienced is being told that I did too much for my kids. Do you think there's a such thing as doing too much?
I definitely do. I agree. There is a certain thing, but I'm guilty of it myself.
I've done it. My kids are spoiled, so spoiled to the point where it's ridiculous.
You know what? And people used to tell me that my kids were spoiled. And I was like, they're not spoiled.
But now you know.
Yeah, you don't realize that.
So they grow.
But no, you don't realize your kids are spoiled until they don't get what the hell they want.
Yeah.
And then they act out.
And they feel obligated.
Yes, even at
20 and 20, they have these temper tantrums, you know, and they feel obligated. Like, I have to give you something.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Or they'll just sit around and pout all day.
Exactly.
And then it's finally like, what's wrong with you? What do you want? We don't hear that. Okay, here, go ahead.
Right.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
They play us. We oblige.
And also, I realized my oldest son was spoiled when it was time for him to get a car. He had gotten his license.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, what kind of car you want? You know, we probably going to get you a nice little used car or something like that.
Yes.
He said, oh, no. I can't get a used car.
He said, I'm not
riding in a hoopty.
No, they don't want hoopty.
He said, I need to look like y'all. I need a Mercedes or an Escalade or something like that.
Girl.
I said, oh, no, sir.
I said, no, sir. You're right.
You got to get a hoopty.
My oldest son, same way, out of high school, wanting a Range Rover. I didn't get this until my late 30s.
I bought this.
Yeah. Like, when you get to 30, you can buy your own. But that's how they
think. But they think they're supposed to ride like us.
Yeah, and that's because of social media, the TV, and everything. They're programming these kids. You know, and that's something else to talk about. You know, you can teach your kids. They used to say, you know, when you train your child a certain way, there are things he wouldn't do or she wouldn't do. That's not necessarily
true. That's not
true. You know,
I don't agree.
We experience those things. You can raise a child, you can have both parents in the household, and you can have a great family dynamic, but that child is still, once he gets of age to make decisions for himself, he's going to make bad decisions.
Right. Yeah. Even, like you said, even though he's been raised properly, he's still going to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Hopefully good, he or she.
We hope that.
Hopefully good, but at the end of the day, they still make their own decisions. And speaking of own decisions, has your child or anybody, you know, kids that you know have made their decisions that you have not, well, your kids rather, that you have not agreed with?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think now that they're older, a lot of our conflict comes from decisions that they make that I don't necessarily agree with. But then, you know, it's kind of hard to tell them, do this, don't do that, you know, and they listen. All I can do is give them my advice. And so what I practice is I'll tell them, hey, I think you should do it this way. Mm-hmm. And then if they go and do it their way, that's a great learning experience mm-hmm. for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
As long as it don't cost me.
As long as it don't cost me. Yeah, and that's happened too. So, okay. Girl, it's cost me. So, yeah, there's been some things that my kids have done that I don't necessarily agree with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that really hurt me. That broke my heart. My grandmother used to say when they're young, they step on your toes. Mm-hmm. But when they get older, they step on your heart.
Yeah.
And that's true.
You don't they say they step on your toes and then sit on your lap, then lay on your heart something like that.
I just know they break your heart. You know what I mean?
When they get older, they break your heart. And they break
your pocket.
And they break your pocket.
And all the things in your house.
Yes, and they test your patience.
Yes, they do.
They test your patience.
And I think that our kids know just how far they can go with us. For instance, mm-hmm. you can ask a question, Mama, can I go here? No. The answer is no. He called back 5 minutes later. Mama, can I go? They want to wear us down.
No, not 5 minutes. My call back 5 seconds. And you know they do.
Yes,
it and
does.
Then they don't call back to back to back like back a goddamn back. House on fire.
So he I'm gonna like, wear you down.
No, don't call me. No more.
But then every time he calls you, what do you answer?
I know. Why do
Why
I'm
you
a blocker?
Use the block button.
I'm a you blocker. You so right. I'm gonna ask.
If you get
on
your
third, why else? Be like, don't call me no goddamn mama. He
called
back.
Don't call me no mama. Well,
why do you answer? Just let me just block.
Block it. But it's hard to block your kids.
Because you don't know if it's emergency or not.
Yes, girl. Oh my God.
And then mine called me like, you hung up in my face. You damn right I did.
Okay.
Because you called me 10 times.
Right. Yes. Look, I know that I tried to call my child before, and I helped him pay for his phone bill. So I text him, I'm going to disconnect your line if you don't answer to
you
me.
Damn right.
You know what I mean? I'm going to have the service turned off because I paid for it.
Oh, they seem to forget that.
How do you not answer the phone I paid for?
Because they don't give a damn.
They don't.
They don't care.
Girl, they are right.
Because they know we're going to pay for it anyway because we want to get in touch with
them. Yeah, we need to get in touch with them. Look, I don't want to switch, but kind of like some of these women paying these cell phone bills, girl.
Ooh.
You need to disconnect, but you're trying to get in touch
trying to stay connected.
But we're talking about mothers and kids today.
We're going to say that for later. We're talking about mothers and kids.
You know we had to do.
But yeah, y'all need to take y'all phone back for them dudes. But
take
anyway.
Take it back.
But anyway, like we were saying, back to the kids. You know, being a mother, okay, you know what? My son asked me not too long ago. He said, Mama, what does it feel like to have kids?
Oh, girl.
And he said, I'm not talking about to literally have them, like birth them. I'm talking about to have them, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. And so my statement to him was, to have kids is a responsibility that never, never ends.
Yeah, that's it.
And to have kids, it means that my love is endlessly for him. Mm-hmm. It means I have to protect him forever. You know, it's unconditionally. And it doesn't matter how old that he gets, that I still feel like I have to be there for him mm-hmm. as a mother. So it's a job that never ends, but it's very rewarding, if that makes sense. And he said, well, and then he says, after I said all that, I said, unconditionally, endlessly mm-hmm. love, I got to protect, provide, whatever. He said, oh, well, you said, sounds to me, it sounds like a burden.
Oh, my God, that's what he said. I mean, it's not
a burden,
but it is
a responsibility,
but you are responsible for a heartbeat outside of your body.
that I have to take care of as long as I'm alive.
Take care of. And that connection between a mother and a child, there's nothing like it on earth, where you would do anything to protect your child. If it's a car running after your child, you're going to run in the path of
the
car.
You have to take care of it.
You have to do that. You know, real parents would do that. You know, and it's just something that you can't explain.
But some of us aren't real parents.
Yeah, that's so sad. But God gave us these kids for us to take care of them. And I understand that it's hard now because, you know, back in the old days, we didn't have to do so much. Our parents and our grandparents, they didn't have to deal with the things that we face today. And it was like all they had to do was cook, provide a roof over our head, make sure that we went to school, get an education, send you off to college. And then you move out of the house, you go and get you an apartment, hopefully get married, and then you have your family. And that was just the cycle. Today's, oh my God.
And speaking of the cycle, not to interrupt you, but back then it was 18. It seems like when everybody turned 18 back then, you knew that you had to go.
We break your place.
You had to go.
You knew.
Yeah, you got to go. And back then, the parents thought that they felt like 18 was, you're grown.
Yeah.
But we know that being grown is not by age.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's mental.
It's mental.
Because I don't think
18, my kids wouldn't be ready to move out
of 18 now. Year old. Yeah, I wouldn't even want my 18-year-old to leave.
But were we more
unless
mature?
Unless they were going to college.
Well, we were more mature.
Yeah, because we struggled and we survived. Yeah. We hustled.
And it was embedded in us.
Right.
You need to go to school, get a job, and you move out
when you get,
and take care of yourself.
You were 13 and you knew when you get 18, you get out of here.
No, you gotta go.
When you get 18, you getting out of here.
You gotta go.
You gotta go.
And it was no letting you come back. And so it's hard now because the economy, you know, it costs more. The apartments are higher. I mean, to have a decent apartment, it's like $1,000 a month.
Shit, I can't even afford an apartment.
What?
I can't afford to take care of myself.
So can you imagine a child now trying to have an apartment,
a car
insurance, and pay the utilities?
And cell phone.
Cell phone, gas.
And groceries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost impossible. So, you know, you see a lot of parents and kids living together longer now. I did read an article on that too, where there are more parents living with their kids now and kids living with their parents, you know, vice versa. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's okay if they're sharing the responsibility, I guess.
Yeah.
Because right now everybody needs a roommate.
A roommate. Okay.
A roommate, a bill mate.
Because my roommates don't pay bills.
Well, I need a bill mate.
Okay.
I don't want a roommate. I don't need nobody to occupy space. I need somebody that's going to pay some bills.
A bill mate.
Exactly.
So
a bill mate.
But yeah, that's the crazy thing. You know, it's just really hard for the kids. And they have their own struggles, especially with us raising boys. Oh,
right.
Man.
Yeah.
We deal with things now. We have to worry about if they're going to make it home from work.
Black boys. Yeah, black boys, that is.
They're not making it home.
Yeah, and that's what my oldest son said. He said, Mom, every time I go out, my main concern is coming back home.
Wow.
Coming back home.
My son, too. And both of them. You know, my oldest son, he's moved that way. He's out, and he has his family. But my youngest son is in the house, so we talk more.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me the other day, Mom, I got to move from here. And I'm like, why?
Move from where?
Move from out of Houston.
Period. Oh, okay.
He said his friends, like, they're doing all kinds of things. He said, there's so much going on. He said, not my friends, but people my age.
Mm-hmm.
This age group, he said, it's crazy. You know, I mean, you look on the news and you see them killing each other and people are dying and finding them in cars and finding them dead and, Lord Jesus, just a lot going on. But he said that I'm literally having to watch my back every time I'm out. And you wonder, okay, you don't want your child to have a gun, but we have a gun to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we don't feel safe going out without a gun. Then how do you think our boys feel?
That's true.
Isn't there something?
But we don't want them to have a gun because I don't feel like they're mentally mature enough
prepared. No.
Yeah, because they still move on emotions.
Right.
And so they don't think. They just react. And I don't need you to react. I want you to respond. But I get it because every day when my son is gone, he's like, Mama, I just, you know, every time I see a police officer, I get very nervous, even though I haven't done anything. But just to know that I'm a black man, I'm black while driving. BWD.
Yeah.
Is a problem. It seems like BWD is a crime. Black while driving is a crime.
Right, right.
And so he's like, Mom, every time I'm out, my main concern is just to make sure that I get home alive.
And
why does that have to be your main concern?
So what is
I mean, we know why, but I'm saying, but why? You know why?
It's sad. It's so sad.
It is very, very sad. But at the end of the day, like I tell my kids, you know, just make sure you do the right thing, make right decisions, don't hang with the wrong crowd, and just try to be respectful and responsible in any and everything that you do at all times. Even if you get pulled over by the cops.
Now that's something. Now we have to teach our kids, when you get pulled over by the cops, put your hands in the air.
Oh no, don't reach.
Just put your hands where the people can see the hands. You know, don't reach for anything.
Don't move.
You know, and it's almost crazy because even we saw where the guy told him to go in his glove box. He knew that he had a license.
And he said,
and he had permission to reach, and he reached, and the man shot and killed him. So, like, what do you do? You know, I'm nervous when the police pull me over. Maybe I shouldn't be speeding, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. Girl, look, we got
but
to get
look. Not even when the police pull me over. I'm nervous when they, like, beside me, behind me.
Right, right.
Like, I'm just nervous.
What is that about?
Because they killing black females, too, these
days.
Yeah,
they are. You know? So, we didn't have those same issues back then. The police was
I know. I think we did.
It just wasn't publicized.
Yeah, it wasn't publicized.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too.
And we didn't have the cell phones, and we didn't have the cameras, so nobody saw it.
So, I asked someone the other day, is this a new issue, or has this always been happening?
I think
it's just getting more attention now.
Yeah, because we see it with the cell phones, the social media, and everything else, but it's always been prevalent.
Wow.
You know, so. But yeah, so anyway, yeah, so but about our boys and our kids and just being a mother. How was your Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day was great, actually. You know, we did Mother's Day here.
Yeah.
I had a good Mother's Day. We laughed, we sat, we ate, we cooked.
You cook.
Yeah.
I ate. You know, so let's be clear. Yeah. I seasoned.
Yeah, I
you know,
cook.
I did a little cooking too.
Little something.
But yeah, we had a great time.
It was good. We laughed. Nobody was dressed up. Nobody had to go anywhere. I didn't want to go anywhere and do a fake laugh.
Just free and
enjoying our day.
Relaxing our minds.
Let your conscience be free.
You know, that's my thing.
I know it.
And we just had a good time.
Yeah, it was good.
The kids enjoyed it.
And I guess one of the things that I was most grateful for is to actually see Mother's Day with my mom still living and both of my boys present. And then you can't ask for more nowadays. That's a blessing.
Yeah, that's a blessing. A big blessing.
A big blessing.
And I'm with you with that. I have two mothers, a mother and a stepmother, and my kids. And yeah, just to wake up every morning, just to wake up that morning to see them was awesome and amazing.
Awesome and amazing. Yeah. Even though my mom was grown this year, went out of town.
Oh, she did.
She went to Atlanta. And she had a good time. Normally myself and my mom travels all the time, and my sister never travels, but she did this time. So they had their little mommy daughter time, and it was good. I watched them from Facebook.
Yeah, I know, I saw that.
Yeah, and they had a good time. So.
Did you feel like you missed out on anything?
I do. I mean, me and my sister, we love our mom. We have a good time. And I've never missed a Mother's Day like that.
Usually
it's us traveling. But, you know, they left during the week. I couldn't, my schedule wouldn't allow me. So I babysit.
It happens.
I was babysitting both of my nieces.
Okay. So you had a good Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, it was good. We had a good
Mother, auntie.
Yes. So I did all that and made sure the girls were okay so my sister could have peace of mind. And sometimes you have to sacrifice, and that's what mothers do. And speaking of sacrifice,
honey.
You know, being a mother is a big sacrifice. You know, we sacrifice many things. And I think that today you have people who have kids. I've heard people complain about having to do this and that for their kids. But, you know, nobody told you to lay down and have those kids. That's
nobody,
your responsibility.
Yeah.
But we do sacrifice for our kids. We sacrifice so much of our lives for them. So
yeah, I was scared to have, not scared to have kids. Speaking of, you know, being a mother and having kids, I was scared to be a parent, like, you know, just trying to figure out, like, what type of mother am I gonna be?
Yeah.
Because I, and this is another subject. I didn't want to be my mother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew that I wanted to be something different, but I wanted to make sure that I was the right mother for my kids.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know. I don't know. I guess I didn't know how to be the mother, but I did the best that I could.
But who does?
Yeah.
Does? You know what I mean? Yeah. Is there a book that tells you how to be a mother? Is there a catalog that you can go and order? You know, now you can Google all kinds of stuff.
I mean, yeah, there's all articles, but yeah.
But that doesn't
everybody
help you
has
with
to
parenting.
Do it different, yeah.
You know,
because you're parent according to your kids.
According to your kids, according to your environment, you know. It's easy for us to say now because we've gotten to a place to where we're a bit successful and, you know, nice homes and we're living in the suburbs, you know, but that wasn't our story when we first had our kids. You know, money was short at times, you know, so we do the best and we did the best that we could. So what is great parenting?
I guess it's what you make it, you know, according to, like you said, your kids. And even if when you have multiple kids, such as you and I, you're a different mother.
I was different.
To each child, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I noticed some of the mistakes. When my first son, he's older, he's about 4 years older than my youngest. I didn't know, I was young, I was 20 when I had him. I had a great example of what a mother is. My grandmother raised me until I was of some age. My mother had me at a young age. And so my grandmother did show me, and I did see that, but still, I had no clue. So the mistakes I made with him, it was like training for me. So I made mistakes with my oldest son. I did things with my oldest son. And when I had my second child, I was like, okay, I did this with him. This didn't work. Let me try to do this differently. You know what I mean? So I do believe that as we mother and nurture our kids and you have another one, you become a better parent with the second, third, or fourth one.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And when you say your grandmother raised you, speaking of that.
Yes.
How do you feel? Would you raise your son's child if you still have a child? Because let me say this before you answer that question. Today, there are like 1.5 million grandmothers that are raising their grandkids. Is that fair for them?
Yeah.
Like, would you do that? Like, I know your mom did it. And not saying that you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
If I was faced with that, I would have no choice because, as you know, my grandbaby's with me every night.
Oh yeah, that's true.
She's with me.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I'm playing a very big part of her life.
Yeah.
I watch her from 10 at night to 7 in the morning while her mom works.
Right.
But her mom's working. She's trying. She's a single parent.
Right.
Of course.
And
my son,
I commend you for that. Yeah.
Thank you, sis. My son is the father to that child.
Your oldest.
To that, yeah. And so, but if something were to happen to her mom or her grandmother, of course, I would be forced to do it. It's not something that I want to do, and that's the difference. I think that most people who are grandparents and raise their kids, they do it because they have to. Because they want to.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? Let your baby be out there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know what? That's another conversation for a show because, honestly, I really just don't think it's fair have to do it. I don't think it's fair for my teenager, my young daughter or son to go out and have a baby. And then I have to be responsible for it because you're not equipped with the things of life to take care of your kids.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? So now I'm dealing with a whole nother responsibility that I don't even want to deal with because my kids are grown.
Yeah, and at a certain age, you don't want to have little kids.
Yeah, you don't. But a lot of parents or grandparents who are raising their kids, and it's just not fair. And a lot of times these kids need to be more responsible as far as having babies.
Having sex,
babies, and then bringing that responsibility
on the
home
parent.
To me.
Yeah, well, it's sad, but it's true. And I would say this, and this is not my thought process, it's just what it is. Having boys, you know, when you have a boy, I find that I'm excited that I have boys because if there's a baby involved, they don't have to stay with me all day long.
Oh, yeah. That's
she's
what I'm
not gonna be
like
there.
That too.
You know, but when you have a daughter and she gets pregnant, honey, you become a parent all over again because especially if she's still living in your house. So I'm really glad that I had boys in that sense, but at the same time, I don't want my boys going out there making babies and not taking care of them either, because I didn't raise them to be that way.
Well, we're not raising sorry men.
Yeah, no, not at all. So, Yeah, it's a part of the struggle. It's black people problems, is what I call. And it happens more with us than any other race. Yeah, black people problems. Exactly. And the world don't understand our problems.
But you know what? No, to be honest with you, I read an article the other day, and it stated that it's more higher in the white community.
Oh, really? But more prevalent with them? Okay.
With the grandparents raising the grandkids.
Interesting.
Due to the fact of the opium, the opium drug the heroin, it's really, really bad right now.
Okay.
And so now a lot of the white grandparents are raising their kids, their grandkids.
Their grandkids.
Yes, yes, yes. And I also read an article where abortions, and this is on something else, but we're talking about, white.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
The abortions are higher in the white community too. It's just that they don't publicize it and record it.
I'm sure.
Because they pay for it, and a lot of our abortions are, through
the
system.
Yeah.
So it's recorded.
Wow.
So, I just threw that out there. However, since we were talking about kids and being a mother, we're going to have my son come on. We're going to ask him a couple of questions about being a child, being a 22-year-old child of a mother as opposed to when he was 12 years old. So the difference on how he feels that the parenting has changed or should change, or what he wants or what he needs as a young adult as opposed to when he was a youngest child.
Yay!
Okay, so we're going to bring him on in just a minute. Hey everybody, we're back, and we have my oldest son here, Bryson. He's 22 years old. And we're just going to ask him a couple of questions as far as the relationship with his mom, which is myself. So I wanted to ask you, Bryce, what is the one thing you feel like will make the relationship stronger between you and I?
Stronger. I mean, we're pretty strong already, so it's kind of hard to, you can never go wrong with taking a step further in communication always.
Mm-hmm.
You can always do that. We can ride with that. Communication always can improve.
Okay, that was quick. I just want to ask you one more thing.
Okay.
So as a mother, do you think there's anything I could change to have a better relationship with you, then you have a better relationship with me? So now I'm putting it on me. What can I do to make you feel closer to me? Is there anything I should change? My approach, the way I talk, my speech, my tone, my attitude,
You've gotten really good at, being more empathetic, I guess, about, what I go through as a young man out here and trying to understand what I'm going through mentally, me growing, just trying to see where I'm at. You've done a real good job, especially last couple of years. I'm proud of you as a mom.
Thank you.
Improve. I would say just relax a little bit. Just relax a little bit, because things do happen, but we got to just be able to stay level-headed at all times and communicate through everything. So just, not be so quick to jump the gun on certain things. That's about it. Just come in smooth. Let's all remain smooth through situations.
I agree. I've heard that several times. Not just from you, but from Holy Water.
Me too.
Yes.
I was like, okay. That's Papa. Oh, my God. Everything don't have to be so.
Yeah, she's quick, man.
Yeah,
I'm quick to react instead of responding.
And she
oh, wait a minute. This ain't about me, God damn it.
Listen a little more. See that right there?
Listen. Stop popping off.
Quick to file.
Yeah, she pop out. That's all a pop out quick.
Okay, go. Okay, thank you. I love you. I appreciate
that.
That's
love
so amazing.
You.
So we have one more.
Okay.
And mine is kind of what you just said. My question is going to be, what is the difference between the way you communicate with your mother now opposed to when you communicated with her as a younger kid? Or do you find that it's easier for you to communicate things to her, like share different things?
Yeah, I think that's always a case-by-case situation. With my mom, she has, she's always been real. real. You know, that's what you can say. So I guess it's hard to be real to little kids sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a lot better now that I'm older, because then I can understand where she's coming from a lot more. So now I kind of even respect her energy even more on a lot of different things. And then now that she sees me starting to understand, she respects my energy even more on a lot of different topics.
Yeah.
So I guess we could say, you know, just the respect factor of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
just and the understanding on your behalf.
Yeah, on my behalf. So that it's better now for me, I guess.
Yeah, because he'll be 5 or 4, and I'll be like, they ain't your goddamn friend.
Yeah, and you don't understand.
Yeah, they don't understand it. I'm like, everybody ain't your friend.
They my cousins. They're 5. Everybody your cousin.
You know, I'm just confused on how to look at people, how to look at the world. My mama said, I can't hang with you. And she said, why?
I don't know.
Yeah, she just told me I couldn't.
I can't.
Yeah, right. Of course, I understand a lot of different things. Not enough, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
We thank you. We love you, and we value your opinion.
Love y'all too. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
So y'all heard that, right? So if your mothers and y'all tuned in, y'all need to bring it down a little bit.
Right. Don't pop off like me, y'all, because I'm the pop-off queen.
Queen.
Don't tell your 4-year-old they ain't your goddamn friends.
Okay.
They don't understand.
They don't understand that.
But at the end of the day, it's about communication. Okay, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. We hope y'all enjoy.
We love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you soon. We're signing off. This is Hellfire.
This is Holy Water. Bye.
Toodles.